Welcome to episode 121 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brozeski. Alan Olson is traveling, but he found an internet connection, so here he is.
Woohoo!
We're going to do this live this time because tomorrow I will be in Akron at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. I'll be checking out, meeting up with some people in the tour vans and checking out the course, although there's really not much to it. It's a bunch of holes that go back and forth, so...
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yawn. It's probably one of the last PGA Tour courses I'd choose to play.
Yeah,
put it that way.
Yeah, not super exciting.
Fred Funk excited to win the U.S. Senior Open. He won He won by like six. He beat Greg Norman, who had the lead going into the final round.
What? Greg Norman lost the final? No way. Stop me if you've heard that before.
Yeah. Hey, at this point, he's a part-time player, so it's amazing on one hand that he's contending, given that he plays about 25 rounds a year or so at this point. But Fred Funk gets it done at the U.S. Open. 20 under par wins the USGA event. That's perhaps the hidden lead there.
That's a little bizarre. I mean, shoot, we're surprised if it's two or three under, and to have it go to 20 under is, I don't know, USGA, do they just not pay attention to the senior open or what the deal is? But next year, these guys could get punished.
They had Alzheimer's if they forgot they were the USGA, perhaps. It was a crooked stick, which played something like 21 yards longer than it did for the PGA in 91. But John Daly won. So, whatever. Yeah. I think he shot about 20 under par, too, though, so.
Yeah. That Fred Funk was just a playoff away from knocking off two majors this year, so.
That's right. Back-to-back weeks?
Yeah.
When does that happen? Two majors and back-to-back weeks?
That's I don't know. Do they have a third major this week?
Yeah. Just about. I think they've only had three of their five, right?
I think you're right. Who knows? But who knows? Yeah,
the women are done.
Yeah, for like
the women are done. They have their four. Their four majors are done. Katrina Mathieu birdies three holes, 13, 14, and 15. She made some really long putts on two of those. One was a par five, so she two putted for a birdie on that one. Paula Creamer, who was putting some pressure on, Carrie Webb finished real early and put some pressure on, but Paula Creamer double bogeyed the last hole. She lost by four, so, you know, she wasn't going to win or anything, but could have put some pressure on. Loses by four. Katrina Mathieu wins by three.
Yeah. Quite impressive win, especially after, 10 weeks after giving birth to her second kid, and you're winning a golf tournament, especially a British Open. Pretty impressive.
A major? Yeah.
Tossing that back. It's interesting with Creamer, though. I mean, we've seen this, unfortunately, fairly often.
She's like the Brett Quigley of majors.
Yeah, she has a blow-up hole that's, like, just hideously horrible and can't get it done. Not that she would have potentially won with, but, you know, put pressure on somebody.
She collapses quite a bit. Or quite frequently in majors when she gets near the lead, which is why I kind of refer to her as the Brett Quigley. But, you know, we saw it in the U.S. Open on Saturday playing with Christy Kerr. We see it here again. We saw it last year's U.S. Open where it happened. I think she shot 79 on Sunday when she was one shot out of the lead to start the day or leading to start the day or something. She's going to have to figure that out. I don't want to call her a joker, but she needs to gut up.
Yeah, at this point.
Tom Watson threw away a bunch of majors. I said this in relation to something else earlier today. He was called a joker for the first 5 years of his pro career, and then he won, you know, eight majors. So.
Yeah, you never know, but at this point, yeah, I guess. I don't know. She certainly has some work ahead of her.
And Lorena Ochoa, some work ahead of her.
Yeah, interesting to see her nowhere.
Nowhere. She finished tied for 28th, I believe. Didn't make the top 20 in the last three majors of the year. Barely made the top, didn't have a top 10 all year in the majors.
Yeah, that's hard to say when you're the number one player in the world, so. I don't know.
Yeah, you want to talk about a number one slumping, it isn't Tiger Woods these days, so.
No, that's definitely
just it. Just saying.
Yeah. Maybe she needs to fire her caddy.
She just got a new one, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's probably his turn to go, too.
He's gone. He's out of there. In what I would call no surprise, Michelle Wee and Julie Inkster are named to the U.S. Solheim Cup team. Michelle Wee ended up finishing 13th. Laura Diaz and Stacey Promenas, who are 11 and 12 in the rankings, of course, the top 10 qualified, 11 and 12, Laura Diaz and Promenasud, didn't have a top 20 all year. So, if anyone's the controversial pick, it's Julie Inkster, who at age 49 missed the cut at the Women's British Open and hasn't had a great year, but will provide perhaps the leadership. And honestly, the U.S. team is favored well enough that they could throw away a pick on someone who may not necessarily be competitive, but who might be a good mom figure to the rest of the team, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the primary reason why. I mean, you look over the U.S. team, and they're pretty young. It is interesting to see, you know, because it goes from the last Solheim Cup in 2007, and you look at some of the names, and you're like, what have these people done since 2007?
Nothing.
Nothing, you know,
but neither have any of the Europeans.
No. I think it's just incredibly impressive that for all the grief Michelle Wee gets, and a lot of it, some of it's caused by herself, in 1 year she got to 13th.
She had more, if the points were just kept this year, I think she would have been something like fourth. You know, Christy Kerr and Paula Creamer, I think, would have still beat her because they won tournaments and things, but she would have been top five, I think, in points if you just count this year. So, you know, and she only played 13 tournaments, too. So, you know, a lot of the gals on the list played 16, 17, 18. So,
yeah,
it's impressive. She didn't miss a cut all year. She's the only one to do that, I think. All kinds of things. She earned her spot. She earned her captain's pick, we'll put it that way. But, the Solheim Cup needs to, you know, and the Ping guys, the Solheim family, run this, basically. But they're not dummies, and I think at some point they're gonna find a way to get the Asian players in this, because, you know, you look through who's playing in this, the 24 women that are playing, and honestly, you'd be hard-pressed to name more than six of them or say anything about when they've won. So...
Yeah, I mean, I've got the list in front of me. I can't even tell you what 95% of them have done in the last 2 years. So, yeah, it's going to be good for the future of it, and let's hope they make that adjustment.
All right, we'll move on to our fourth story of the week. I want to say, last week, I predicted that Tiger Woods would win by four to complete the Fortnite Slam, and now this week, everybody seems to have stolen my term. I've seen the words Fortnite Slam everywhere. I just want to point out that I said it last week and predicted it. So,
kudos to you. So, yeah, apparently people are...
I also picked Tiger Woods to win the British Open, so I'm not saying my prediction skills are all that great. I'm just saying
people are...
Fortnite Slam. I should have trademarked it or something.
You should have. People are stealing your material.
That's right. But he wins. He wins by three. He doesn't win by four like I predicted. He got a lot of flack for driving the ball everywhere. But honestly, if you look at his driving accuracy statistics, they're higher by 7 or 8% this year than they have been in the previous bunch of years. And when he missed, a lot of his misses were small misses. Proper side of the fairway just into the first cut. Then he had some of the, you know, the typical Tiger misses where he's in the next fairway. the final round was a snooze fest, though. I mean, it was a bigger snooze fest than Fred Funk, you know, shooting 20 under and winning by six. Because, you know, Matt Betancourt dumps two balls out of bounds and makes a 10 on the first hole when he starts the day tied for third or something. And pretty much everybody else basically did the same thing. It might have taken him longer to do it, but not one bit of pressure was put on Tiger Woods. He had the lead. Some guy early in the day shot something like, what did he shoot, a 62 or something, to put some pressure on. And that was it. That was it for the day. That was, you know, some guy got to 17 under to tie him and, you know, finished 3 hours before Tiger Woods on an easy course. So you knew that wasn't going to hold up. And that was it.
Yeah, this, I mean, okay, he won, and that's great. And he obviously didn't have to play his A or B game, apparently, at some point after throwing up a 71
in the first round
to win it. You know, I guess he's not going to be scared by, well, he's not scared by anybody, but he's not going to have it when it's, you know, Roland Thatcher and Craig Chalmers and John Sundin are, you know, nipping at his heels, or when he's with, you know, I can't even think of the guy he was with in the final round. I mean,
Michael Letzig.
Yeah, I mean, it was just
Cosmo Kramer. Let's put it this way. When the biggest news to come out of the week is who farted, I don't know what that says for the tournament.
Yeah, it doesn't say much. I mean, pretty much the highlight of the tournament was, I don't know, I guess David Faraday in the stands on 17. I don't know. I mean, there was nothing else on Sunday. You watched it. Tiger was on against a field of nobodies. He won. He should.
We'll see how this week pans out at the Bridgestone Invitational. This will be a truer test of Hazeltine and the PGA. Remember, of course, Tiger finished second at Hazeltine last time when Rich Beem, of all people, won. So he has played well there. And, of course, he's played well at the Bridgestone since he's won it 14,872 times or so, give or take, you know. 14,866 times. So this will be a good test. Thicker rough, typically. But again, a pretty boring course, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean,
it's not going to prove anything, but it'll show us a little bit more.
Yeah, that's true. It's not very fun. I mean, the holes are boring and the yardages are obscene, and it was like 670 yard par five stuff.
But that one's downhill. That's, I know. Fun. That's the only interesting hole there. The 16th, so. Yeah, well. Who knows? Maybe he'll win by 10.
Or, yeah, he probably will.
He can't miss the cut. There's no cut, so. He can't miss the cut.
Yay. So he'll be there. He's guaranteed to be there for the weekend.
Yeah, CBS likes that too, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, that does it for the live edition here, episode 121 of the Golf Talk Podcast. For the links to the four stories we talked about this week, check the show notes. Click on through to the articles. They're all at golf.com, so. A lot of them are that we get because... we like them, and they just republish the AP stories, so you can get them anywhere, but that's the ones we go with, so, because they're easy to find, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Episode 121, and again, I'll have some things from the Bridgestone Invitational.
Don't be bored.
Some of them may just be posted in the forum. We'll see.
Pictures. And,
yeah. I probably won't get there till after Tiger's done with his, you know, 5 a.m. tee time, lightning nine holes. So, but whatever. We'll see if he's on the driving range.
There you go.
Take care, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Or the week after that.